Welcome to our podcast series, Unfiltered. This is where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not always discussed in the mainstream or in the workplace.
Here we strip away the polished surface and dive into the raw, messy, and deeply human topics that we don't think get talked about often enough.
We are your unfiltered hosts. I'm Amy from the Courage of a Leader podcast.
And I'm Daphna from Leadership Live podcast. We two coaches from two sides of the world who believe that real growth happens in the uncomfortable, unspoken moments.
From workplace trauma to dealing with major life changes and taboo topics like grief, imposter syndrome, and menopause, this is the space where nothing is off limits.
So if you're ready for honest, bold, and sometimes messy conversations, let's get into it. You don't have to be the loudest in the room to be a powerful leader.
Today, we are talking about introverts, sometimes misunderstood, sometimes underestimated, and often overlooked.
We'll bust myths, share our own experiences, and dive into why being quiet might just be your greatest strength.
I love it. Let's get unfiltered about being an introvert.
Let's do it.
So, Daphna, we said first that we wanted to define what we mean by introversion and extroversion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's not what people typically think. So I think that's a very important thing, the definition. Do you want to go ahead?
Yes. And please add. So it's a continuum. Highly extroverted on one side, a preference for highly introverted on the other side. So we do also want to clarify that it's a preference for how we process and how we gain our energy.
Excellent.
Though if we say someone has a preference for introversion, it doesn't mean that they're not gregarious, that they can't be social, right? It's how they get and refuel their energy. So you
Absolutely.
Might see someone with a preference for extroversion processing their thoughts out loud and being comfortable doing that and gain energy when they are in social situations and around other people and building off each other's ideas. Whereas an introvert, will you say this side, Daphna?
Yeah, so the introvert, and for me, the really good distinction that I often use with people who are not sure where to place themselves or where they think it's obvious they're one thing but not another is where do you get energy when you feel drained?
Yeah.
So the introvert will get energy by being alone and having quiet time and absorbing some of the social or the things that drain them, absorbing it into their center, their core, and allowing it to be processed and calmed down. So I often say to people, at the end of a very busy work day, you've had meetings, you've presented, you've worked with your team, you've done a whole lot of things. You're tired because we get tired. What do you want to do then? If you get invited to a party, do you think, yes, that's going to restore my energy? I'm going to be, you know, fully alive and funny.
Let me be social.
Yeah, I'm going. And that's going to give me a high and a lift. Or do you go, oh my gosh, that is the worst thing I can think of doing right now. I just need to go home, lie down, have some quiet time and regroup. And that's the difference, the main difference, kind of an anecdote for really looking at if you're an extrovert, you'll go to the party and feel on a high afterwards. If you're an introvert, you'll go home, quiet dinner, quiet time, maybe connecting with family, small, intimate, and then you'll feel replenished.
Yes. And of course, this is a continuum.
And you this might, is a continuum. Absolutely. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. And you might be someone that resonated with some of the things that we said about people that are on the extroverted side of the continuum and some of the things that we said about the introverted side of
Right.
And it's situational. You might find yourself in different places.
Yeah.
Depending on the day, the week, the month, the year.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I do want to add there that people are often surprised because maybe here's a time for us to share what do we think we are. But people are often surprised because they take me for a full-on extrovert because I talk fast. I've got a lot of energy, a lot of passion. I love being in front of room. I do enjoy going to parties. But the truth is that I'm a, what do you call it, like a masked or a, I'm really an introvert inside, because when I've had too much of that interaction that really does feed me and give me energy, I absolutely need that downtime. I need the downtime to just go, gather my thoughts, gather myself, my space, and just be on my own for a little bit. So that, I would say, I'm tending to the introvert side. And let's also define the ambivert, which can be both. So I do know that I have ambivert qualities, let's just say, because I can do both, but tending to introvert. How about you?
I am extremely extroverted. And of course, there are times when I have introverted behaviors and preferences, right? Depending on how the day, the week went. Yes, highly extroverted. So this leaves us as two people who I think are perfect to have this unfiltered conversation about what happens when we're all mixed together in a workplace.
Yes.
Expected to have synchronous and asynchronous collaboration. And how does that all unfold?
With different types of people, and reminding of the continuum on different levels of the continuum at different times and different situations. I think that's really just good for awareness.
Exactly. Also, we're going to use some shorthand in this conversation. We're going to say extroverts and introverts when we mean people with a preference for extroversion or folks with a preference for introversion. We're not going to say that whole phrase every time. So we're going to shorthand, and many people do in mainstream conversations, talk about introverts and extroverts. But please, we want everyone to know that it is actually a continuum that we all live on day to day.
And I'd like to just pause there for a moment and just say, why is this conversation important?
Okay.
Why is it important to talk about it? Okay, so there's different preferences, different personality styles and approaches. Why is it important for us in the workplace?
Yes, as I think, and I can get on my soapbox about this, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so many meetings and interactions are set up for the extroverts.
Exactly.
And we are missing the best thinking from our introverts, right? They're still processing and putting together the brilliant idea in their heads, and the conversation has run away.
And I think that's such an important thing to really talk about, because extroverts process their thinking out loud. Actually, it's not that they've formulated their ideas and thoughts and suggestions and then spoke about them.
No.
They're actually thinking as they're speaking. That's their particular skill. You know, they can do that. Whereas introverts have to process the whole thing first and then think about it. And then they will have something to say that is adding to, and you're adding value to the conversation.
Yes.
But if the extrovert and the introvert are in the room, the extrovert's going to think out loud and think and come to their conclusion, while the introvert is still processing. And then, as you said, the conversation can run away because the extrovert thinks, okay, we've discussed it, we've got an outcome, and the introvert hasn't said one thing yet. So for me, the extrovert really has to be aware of this to make space for the introvert to say, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, what's coming up for you? What are the thoughts you're having in the moment? The introvert needs to understand that they can speak even if they haven't processed the whole thing at front.
Yes. And it could be okay to have a couple of minutes of silence.
Yes. Ooh, extrovert hate that.
I know, right?
That's expensive.
Give me another assignment during that time, right?
Right.
Yeah, for people to gather their thoughts, right? Start writing it down. That would be a way that everyone on the continuum could participate. And Daphna, I know, you know, we've got leaders coming to us who are saying, I'm not having the level of engagement that I want.
Exactly. Major complaint. Just like last week, I was working with two founders of an organization, and they were saying exactly that to me. And they were saying, but we don't think it's our place to, you know, when we're having a team meeting, the team must just speak up. They actually said, it's not our place. Ask them for their input. We don't need to ask for it. They should just, classic two extroverts, CEOs leading this company, with some introverted people in their team and they're waiting for them to speak up. But the introverts sometimes need that invitation, that moment of silence,
yes,
to really kind of be invited into the space and feel that they're invited into the space to give their contribution.
Yes. I'm wanting to go into some of our advice for leaders.
I know.
Can we
look at the struggles first?
Okay.
How do you know you're an introvert statements? We've got some half ones. Maybe let's go there. You know you're an introvert if, and we came up with some good ones that I think will help people recognize the introverted side of themselves. So
okay.
Do you want to go first?
You as our introvert, Daphna, will you start and say some of the statements that strongly resonate with you?
Okay, so I want to start with the fact that you actually feel genuine joy sometimes when someone texts you, can we reschedule our plans? And this is often relating to social plans, right? So, you know, you see the can we reschedule and someone will go probably, oh, how can they let me down? Last minute, this, and I'm going like, what a relief. I get to have an evening at home. I don't have to get all dressed up. I can just relax, read my book, and regroup. And I think that that's something that a lot of introverts feel.
Yep.
Even though we appreciate social interactions, we love our social engagements. But sometimes it's actually, we've been given a gift. That's all. I've been given a gift, a night off.
Yes. Yes.
How about you?
Oh, one that I am responding to is your idea of a wild Friday night is staying home and not talking to anyone on purpose, right? And for me, that's especially if it's been a full week. It's been busy,
yes,
right? My brain has been going in different directions. I have gathered that energy and used it up, right?
Yes.
And it's time for a refuel.
I love what you're saying there because I think it relates to our continuum idea where maybe everybody has a certain bucket of energy that once it's used up, you need to go to that introverted end of the scale to regroup. Just find yourself quiet moment and regroup. And it's true that that level of energy is just at different levels for different people. And as we said, in different situations. So when it's used up, we need to regroup.
Yeah. And given what is going on in our world right now, our climate, our politics, our wars, it's calling for a lot of resilience and energy. There's a lot to process and think and feel these days. It's just dawning on me that that might be pushing us all towards the introverted side of the scale in terms of needing that time to regroup, refuel,
reflect. Yeah, and that everyone can gain from that. I know that when I work with my extroverted clients, I guess even the coaching session is that moment to pause, slow down all the activity that's going on around you, and just give yourself a moment to reflect and think about what you're doing. And that is something that is beneficial to everyone, and especially what you're highlighting in our slightly chaotic world as it stands at the moment.
And it's making me think of time for three things just popped into my head. The reflection, like you were saying, the refueling. What do we all do to refuel, right? Is it take a pottery class? Is it a walk in nature? Is it a call with a friend, right? Like a light form of interaction. Like what refueled you? And then I just think right now, like we all need more planning time, right? In ways that work for us.
Yes. So you're saying reflection in terms of just looking at the past and saying, what am I learning? How's it connecting with me? What do I want to take from this? And then there is that other, it could be even a different kind of reflection where you're actually planning. You're actually thinking about what you want to do and taking some time to plan it instead of always having to respond in the moment.
Yes.
I just want to do one more because I love to be an introverted. And this is one I really relate to.
Okay.
And I know some of my introverted friends also do. I've done this. I'm guilty.
I think I know which one you're going to say.
I've hidden in a bathroom stall at a party just to regroup, just to maybe scroll through some memes or something just to get my energy back before I go back into the room and start to engage again. And I know that I've done this, and especially also at networking events or conferences where I think for introverts, the energy that it takes to interact with people that you don't know as well. I think when it's a party or a group with people that you know and they're your friends and you appreciate, you can really, you know, go well with that, again, on the continuum. But when it's people you don't know, it requires even more energy. So that hiding in the bathroom, I'm guilty of, and I wonder if any of our listeners are guilty as well and can relate to that.
I'm so glad that we're sharing a few of these. You might be an introvert if, so that folks don't feel alone.
Because I mean,
in those moments, and let me tell you, like, as an extrovert, when I've needed things like that, like now I need to hide in the bathroom because I'm overwhelmed. There's been just like certain times in life when I've needed that. It has felt wrong or shameful or embarrassing. Like what is going on with me as a human being that I need this moment to regroup? So I just want to double click here and be like, I think often introverts, or when we're on that introverted side of the scale, we can place judgment or a negative label or interpretation on that. And I want to say, humans, let's not do that.
I love where you're taking this, because I think here we're going, we are really double clicking on why is it hard? Why is it a struggle? And I think what you're highlighting there is our own judgment about ourselves and what behaviors are okay or not okay. Is something wrong with me if I choose to hide in the bathroom? Is something wrong with me if the doorbell rings and I don't feel like answering it? Or if I don't feel like having a long phone call at the moment, just don't have the energy for it? And the second thing around that is sometimes the judgment and the conversation around introversion, extroversion makes introverts feel like introversion is a flaw rather than a superpower, which it really, really is and can be. Yes. But the kind of languaging and the world around us speaks about being an introvert like it's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
So introverts get this message from both sides, like themselves, like what's wrong with me, and also the outside world of, well, if you're an introvert, well, just put in more effort or give it more energy or just make the effort and go out there or go to the meeting or present.
Share your ideas,
Share your ideas. Exactly. I think that's a real, really important point about the struggle.
Yes. Daphne, I've had so many coaches that I've worked with that are introverts that, you know, they come and they're like, how do I get myself to say the thing during the meeting?
Exactly.
Right?
How do I?
They feel like they have to change to fit the situation.
It's true. And I think, and we are going to get to the practical advice and tips, right? So we will touch on that. But I also think that the next level of what the consequence of that is that they often feel like they're overlooked, and they possibly are. And they possibly are because they are not showing up enough. I think one thing that I also talk about is doing your own PR work within your business, within your organization, because if you're not going to be talking about what you're doing and your successes, and not in an arrogant way, look at me, but more in a actually informing people and letting people know of your involvement and your contribution, people are not going to know. And that can lead to being overlooked, being underestimated, undervalued. And that does have serious consequences for promotions and advancement.
Yeah. Really fear that the concerns of the introverts are very real, right? Like, not only if I don't speak up in these meetings, not only am I not going to get visibility and get thought of for this opportunity or this next promotion, like I'm going to get forgotten, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not seen. I'm not heard. I'm not noticed.
And I'm going to add to that, and you are. You are going to be forgotten. That's what I want to say. And maybe that's the hard part. You know, maybe that's the tough conversation here that we are having at the moment, is that organizational culture is often, I won't say 100% of the cases, I think there are mechanisms you can put in at work. And maybe that's leaders' responsibility, and they need to look at how they do that to really notice your more quiet employees, to make sure that you look at value add rather than at loudest voices. But at the same time, I think it's for introverts to take responsibility for how they're seen and make sure that they understand that if they don't do things, and again, I'm going to say you can do it in a way that works for you. It doesn't have to be loud and proud and uncomfortable. You are going to be overlooked. You are going to be forgotten if you do not speak up. And there are certain things you need to do.
Yeah. And we're not saying that's right.
No, we're not.
Right? Like, we want the opposite of that. But that is often what is so.
Yeah. And I think, and here we're talking to both sides taking responsibility. As an organizational entity, as a leader of an organizational entity, how can you make sure that you really are being fair in how you evaluate your people and don't just go for the obvious kind of indicators?
Yeah.
And for the people that we're talking about, the introverts themselves, how do you make sure that you really step up with your superpowers? And I know I've been talking about superpowers, I've been mentioning it, but we haven't actually said, what are they? What are superpowers?
But let's go to the superpowers for the introverts, and then let's talk advice for
leaders. Excellent.
Superpowers of the introverts.
Yes. Okay. My number one is observational skills.
Nice.
They are able to step back and really read the room very well. The extroverts are so busy processing their thoughts, their plans, and, you know, that kind of very self-oriented process, whereas the introverts are listening, processing, and noticing what's going on in the room. So they are very good observers. They are very good listeners as well.
And they can take all that content that the extroverts are immediately espousing and pull all that together and be thoughtful and construct, right? Like add on to and synthesize what's being shared.
Exactly. That is being intentional with your communication. You're not just going to say something because you want your voice to be heard. You are going to say something when you have something really valuable to contribute. So your communication is very intentional.
It often comes with some great analytical
skills.
And thinking.
And focus.
Yeah, that ability to focus, dive deep, dive into
it
matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, and stay there. And stay there for some time.
Exactly. Keep the conversation on track. Keep the goal in mind and keep working towards that.
Yes.
I think also another thing that's coming up for me is the power of the one-on-one relationships with introverts. You know, I think that there's energy that's required there that's different to the group interaction energy. Yeah. And introverts tend to be better at that.
Yeah. Think about that power. If you've got those one-on-one relationships with the key influencers in different functional areas inside of your organization or your industry, then the power, right, when you do bring an idea forward, you've got the folks that are going to listen.
It's very true. And that makes me think also of level of expertise. Yeah. You know, introverts, because of their focus and their analytic often, and we're generalizing here again, just a quick reminder. The focus they're generally seen as the experts. So people really, they have a lot of credibility. People value their input because of the level of expertise that they tend to have.
Yes, absolutely. Just a quick anecdote that jumped into my head as the opposite of introversion. Daphna, I am the worst training participant. Like when I'm like as an extrovert sitting there in the room, like absorbing the information, like, you know, like trying to take it all in and not being able to facilitate or say the things or be out loud. I sit there and I would label it as impatience, but it's that desire for the interaction.
Isn't that interesting? Because I think about also, you know, when you have a group process or even in a coaching session one-on-one, and at the end of the session, we go, what is your takeaway from the session? I don't know if you asked that. I'm sure you have some kind of question that you ask at the end. Often. And often I have my introverts who will say to me, hold on, we've just had this conversation. I can't answer that now. I've had that happen with extreme introverts. It's like, wait, I need to process. We discussed a lot of stuff and I need to really think and I need to absorb it. And then I'll tell you, ask me next time what I took away.
Yes.
Last time conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's also just a very interesting
endocrine. And I can relate to that because after a day of facilitation, let's just say with a global group of leaders, there's a lot going on. I might have a co-facilitator. Often I've had that co-facilitator ask me at the end of the day, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Who do you think are most engaged participants? Who do you think this? And I have been so out there with people, like present, in the moment, doing the things, reacting to things in the moment, that actually then I feel like I can't answer that question. Yes. I need some time to process.
You know what I'm loving about this conversation is that I'm really realizing how now, as we've been talking, introverts, extroverts, the power of both and what it really means, what's coming up for me is how both can get value from, first of all, seeing the other, but also practicing some of the skills of the other, you know, of the other side. So something that's coming up for me is really play along that continuum. Place yourself in any given moment and say, would it be valuable? Would it serve me or the situation or the process to step a little bit to either side and see how I can just train my muscles, my brain muscle to do something a little bit different?
I love it. And you know, Daphna, in preparing for this conversation can often go in the direction of what introverts need to do differently to fit into this construct that we have going on in the workplace. And I was looking as an extrovert, what can we do? And lots of times we're the first ones out there with content. Here are my ideas for this challenge or this opportunity or this problem. We could also be the first ones out there to talk about the process. How is our conversation going? Who's quiet in this moment? Who do we need to hear from? How could we make some constructs so that we have a shared document that gets added to before, during, and after meeting, right? And be the first ones out there with information about process and how we manage our energy, right? If I start to talk about my energy and what refuels me and how I manage it, right, that can open up a conversation for the full team to talk about what works for them, co-create norms and ways of operating that actually work for everybody. Yeah.
I love that. I love what you're saying. And I want to even make it more practical and to say, you spoke about process, speaking to the process and not just the content. And I think firstly, things like agendas for a meeting. I know a lot of people can go without agendas for a meeting and they go, what do we need an agenda for? I know exactly what I'm going to talk about and I'll lead the conversation. It will be fine. But if you've got introverts in the room, that agenda will help them get their mindset or the frame around it so that they can start thinking ahead of time, oh, what are my thoughts about it? And then actually come ready to contribute. Things like inviting people, everyone in the room, doing a round. If you brainstorming ideas, do a round so that everybody, and a round means asking everybody around the table to contribute their thoughts and inviting them into the space.
Yes.
I'm sure there's more, you know.
Yeah. These are ideas for leaders as well, right? Use agendas.
Exactly.
Use collaboration, documents, tools, processes that folks can
preparation.
Add to before, during, after the meeting. So if that person with a preference for introversion puts together their thinking and it's 2 days later, they've got a place to immediately add.
Exactly.
That idea.
100%. And I love that because it also sparked a thought for me, a piece of advice that I gave one of my extroverted leaders who was speaking about agendas and how to run meetings in a way that everybody can contribute and add value. And I said something about agendas and he goes, no, for my team meeting, I don't do agendas. For the clients and this, I do agendas, but not for this. So I said, why not? Do it for the team meet. That's where you feel you're not getting the same level of productivity and effectiveness. So he said, but I don't want to sit and do that agenda. I said, give it to one of your team. You don't have to do it yourself. Yeah. Give it to one of the team members to own that part of the process. Yeah. You can also delegate it if there are things you don't want to do, but you know will serve the process. Find the right person to do that.
Love it. Love it.
Leader. And you also spoke about energy. You did bring up the point of energy, and I also wanted to bring it into more practical terms of how do we really look at that and bring different people's energies into the room. I don't know if something's coming up for that, for you around that.
So an extrovert might want to have working meetings, right? Like, let's talk this through. Let's do this side by side. Let's, you know, have input and build on each other's ideas. Introverts might want to make sure that they've got time in their calendar for deep thinking, right? For focused time, for refueling their energy, making sure that there is a lunch break or an afternoon solitary walk.
Exactly. And I'm thinking that even in long board meetings or conferences, make sure that there are breaks. Make sure that there are enough breaks for people to go and just have that quiet time, cup of coffee, whatever it is, and then come back into the... So schedule regular breaks for the people who need them.
And they're longer than you think that they need to be.
I know.
I mean, we are always trying to cram so much information into that precious in-person time. But yeah, don't leave your introverts absolutely exhausted by the end of it.
Exactly. Nice. Wow.
Don't confuse silence with disengagement.
Yes. In fact, allow spaces for silence.
Yes.
You can do your best thinking, and most creative ideas come up when there's opportunities for silence.
Allow multiple modes of contribution, right? So it might be that silent individual thinking. Now talk it through with a partner, right? Now let's talk it through in small groups or talk it as a full group. I mean, we have these virtual collaboration, video conferencing tools.
Right.
And we don't use all of the features.
Learn how to use them. Learn how to use them well so that you can get the level of engagement that you want. Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you have some introverts on your team and you want to get people talking, throw them just in paired breakouts, right? What are your ideas? Take 5 minutes. Talk this through. Or like we said, have the silent time. Play with different modes of processing information, generating ideas. Be clear on what this part of the meeting or the conversation is about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm thinking about, I know that, and I guess there's something in here for the extroverts and the introverts, but I know that the introverts really, really appreciate and crave getting to the point. So something around that, being aware of when the conversation has now digressed and it's not coming to the point that you want to. So both sides, either the introverts, use your focus skills and listening skills to really get to the essence of the conversation. And the extroverts encourage the thinking and the expansion of thinking while being aware that it might tire some of your team members out or, you know, people that you're talking to.
Yes. Do we wrap with some reflection questions?
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yes. And this is for times that we find ourselves on the introversion side of the continuum.
Because I guess this episode is about being an introvert, while for the extroverts, actually also being aware of what it means to be an introvert and how they can contribute to create a kind of more holistic workspace.
Let's go through these, Daphna. Do you ever feel pressured to perform extroversion?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. Here's one. How do you recharge after intense people time?
What introvert trait has secretly helped you the most in leadership or business?
Lovely. And I think also, think about if you've ever been underestimated because you were quieter.
And I think this last one is for everyone. How do you protect your energy?
Yes, I think that is actually for everyone, extroverts and introverts, protecting energy. is your energy is a really important resource and you want to be able to protect it. Really important.
This is work that everyone needs to do. Leaders, introverts, extroverts. These are challenging times. We've got challenging problems on our plates. We've got interesting opportunities on our plates. We need everybody's best thinking to make this happen. So how do we work with our different preferences to get everybody's best thinking in the space?
Exactly. And I think the thought that I want to leave you, our listeners, with is not what's better, introvert, extrovert, or how do I become more of an extrovert if I'm an introvert, or how do I become more of an introvert if I'm an extrovert, but rather how do each of the ends of the continuum, let's just say, how do we use our strengths instead of just trying to fit in? Find your strengths within your preference and see how you leverage those to really be at your best instead of trying to fit in to what you think the world is expecting of you.
Excellent. I think that's a great question to end on. Thank you, my introverted friend.
Thank you, my extroverted friend. And yes, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do share it with people you may think can benefit and leave us a review or a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear about your ideas for more topics that you'd like to hear us talking about on Unfiltered.
Stay courageous, stay unfiltered.
That's a wrap on this episode of Unfiltered, where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not often discussed in depth. We hope this conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a new perspective, a moment of reflection, or just the reassurance that you're not alone.
If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you have a topic that you'd love for us to tackle, let us know. We are always up for conversations that don't get talked about enough.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with us on LinkedIn. All our details are in the show notes, because the best conversations don't end here.
Until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and stay unfiltered.